Okay, so we start every podcast with the first song that comes to your mind, and then we have to squishify it.
Now I have the ba da ba ba ba
in my head. I know.
That is not what
That's
I want.
The only part of that song that I know, and I think it's heavily trademarked, so let's just avoid it at all costs.
Damn. First song that comes to mind. This is one of those things where it's, think of a word, and you're just like, I don't know any words.
I've said a word in my life.
Yeah,
never
known
a word.
Yeah.
It's okay.
This happens to me all the time.
And
too.
I am telling you,
I'm not going.
Oh, squish.
You're the best squish
I've ever squished.
There's no way I could
ever squish.
No, there's no way.
No
way I'm squishing without you.
I'm not squishing without you.
I'm staying.
And you,
you're gonna squish me. Thank you, Danny Jackson.
Oh, so good.
Guess who's here? Finally. I was going to say back, and I was
it's
like,
it's happening.
This is time one. Welcome, Danny Jackson, to Squish.
Right.
Finally. I think we reference you every single episode.
Yeah, you come up
honestly.
A lot. You come up in conversation
that's
a lot.
I like that.
I think there's like a lot of intersection of like my
yeah, we talk about our
experience
peeps.
In the music community and Katie's experience in the community. There's a Venn diagram, and on the interlapping thing, it's just Danny Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's definitely an overlap of a few people, but Danny's definitely one of the main ones for sure.
Totally. The only one that matters.
Most important.
You know, like, the community in this town is so, like, small but also big, right? So, if you're in a couple of bands over a couple of years, it's like, you end up in everybody's house
totally.
At some point.
Yeah.
How many people were in fucking Leg Up? There was 10,000 of us.
Yes.
And then...
Blase.
The Blase boys, and
anytime,
then they all in bit of man. Like,
yeah.
Anytime
that's
you're
the thing,
in a band over three people, too, it's like you're with those people and their partners and their friends
mm-hmm.
and their
yeah.
partners' friends. And then eventually that's just Victoria. That's all of Victoria.
That's everybody.
Yeah. That's what I always
yeah.
say. Victoria is 1 degree of separation, if that.
Yeah.
It's like everyone, there's no 6 degrees of separation here, for sure.
That's why the poly scene is so disgusting.
Foul.
Incestuous.
This is actually a,
there's a lot
poly
of incestuous
hate
scenes.
Podcast.
The music scene is just as incestuous.
It really is.
We're here to squish the expectation that it's fine. The expectation
nothing
that anything's
is
fine. You think we'd be really into it because
it's
a squish podcast.
Fun.
We're all like touchy feely, but actually, yes, it's all about stay the fuck away from me.
Oh my
the
God,
fuck away from me.
Okay, Danny Jackson, you're a singer, songwriter, sexy beast, extraordinaire community goddess. I'm going to just pull things out of the top of my head. I feel like you are a beautiful, like, energy presence on stage that I personally look up to because you like interact with the crowd, you give them shit and then they give it back, and then it's a beautiful symbiotic relationship. And I totally resonate with that from both of you when I watch you guys like mm-hmm. host on stage. And I love seeing powerful women fronting bands of sexy
powerful.
Boys that all like give you space and respect you, and it's beautiful. And I've definitely tried to pursue that image in my life. I also really like the way that you hold space in your home, and I feel like you are like a beautiful intersection of the queer community, and you have really safe spaces for weirdos. Not that all queer people are weirdos. We're a bunch of different people. But I really admire all those things about you and would love...
Danny's definitely good at holding space in her home. To know Danny is to be fed by Danny, and that is definitely a blessing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a lot of really nice stuff. Yeah, I don't... So, okay, holding space. I was just saying to you guys, I give as good as... Like, I just give back what
yeah.
I get. So life is really hard and scary and both long and short, and I just feel like if you're not... making life easier for people around you, or better for people around you, then you're not living, right? Yeah. So I get off on making you guys happy. Yeah. And introducing people that I love to other people that totally. I love and watching, like, it's selfish, really. And just, like, creating my own fucking pals, people who are good buds army.
People know? Who are comfortable yeah. in their selfishness and their self-love, realistically, there should be no shame in that. It's like, it's you want to be around it because we all want to love ourselves mm-hmm. that much. And someone once said this to me in comparison to my cat. They said, mm-hmm. Kiwi is just like you. She just wants to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the three of us. We just yeah. want to give love big and we want to receive love big. And we're not afraid yeah. to, like, ask for it and give it in return.
And that's yeah. the thing, too, is, like, because when you're someone who, like, gives it out hard, like, it can deplete you mm-hmm. if you're not met with people who give it back. And not you everyone. Feel matched. And it's, yeah. like, you can go through ebbs and flows where not everyone is in the state to give it back in that moment, but you have enough of people in your community that understand that, like, care and be cared for connection. Mm-hmm. You're not ever on empty because someone is always there making sure that it's refilled.
Yeah.
Whereas we get into a pattern of a lot of those situations sometimes where we're giving it out and it's not being refilled and you're like, oh.
Yeah, but also giving it back to yourself and like knowing how to match your own export, mm-hmm. your own import.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've got a lot of that self-care down as well. So you're definitely a person I want all my friends to know. This is like Katie. I'm just like, you guys, my friends need to know people like you. And I want and to like...
something the three of us all have in common. We're like, we just want all our friends to be friends. Yeah.
Very extroverted in this little squishness. But I'd love to pick your brain a little bit on... We just have been interviewing every kind of person in the Victoria arts scene. And I'd love to hear a bit about your story into coming into this music scene, sure. art scene. But also just like... being an artist, period, and like how that started for you, and you can go from day one. I don't really give a shit. I just want to hear your story a little bit more.
So like it, I came into it somewhat accidentally, really. So growing up, I played classical piano and hated it, and always enjoyed singing. I was like walking around the house always singing, and my mom would get really pissed off at me because she'd be talking to me, and I'd be like singing. She was like, listen to me, bitch. I was like, I can hear you. I'm just fucking singing, Mom. I didn't put together the fact that it's extremely rude to sing in someone's face while they're trying to talk to you. And so I eventually started, like, going to karaoke and then moved to Montreal and...
the ultimate gateway drug. Montreal karaoke. We said this was Sasha.
Uh-huh. It was... like, that's when I got pretty serious about my karaoke. And then moved out to Vancouver and I would go to the Legion on Main and 22nd every Wednesday... for $1.60 beers karaoke night. Yeah. And I went religiously. So we had a whole like community of like our karaoke bros from like New West. And it was a whole thing. Ron, the karaoke dude, was my
Ron.
Guy. There was a... Ron was cool. So he's this British dude. And then his wife is like a prison guard.
Like, I love these
They're
stories.
Awesome. And there was like a karaoke contest and I won. So I won like $500.
Hell
and
yeah.
It was dope. Okay. So when I moved to Victoria, I moved into a house with a guy who was in a band and had just like always pulling bands together. And initially, I didn't do anything musically with him really. I went to a party and they were like jamming and I was singing on the mic. And one of the guys there was like, hey, I'm starting a band. Do you want to join it? So I did. And so we were called Warbuck. And we were a band for a couple years, maybe.
What kind of
music? Alt, rocky, okay. angsty shit.
Yeah.
And then after that ended, I joined Leg Up with my roommate at the time and Katie and 10,000 other people. And yeah, so it's always just been fun for me. Like, I just really enjoy singing. It's something that like makes me... comfortable and happy, and if it's just an outlet for joy mm-hmm. or sad. In terms of, I don't really consider myself like a creative person in a weird way.
Mm.
I struggle so much with writing or the type of thing. If someone's, what would your drag name be?
Mm.
I'm like, I don't know.
You
like,
are your drag person. I feel like
drag name would be Danny fucking.
Like, or to it, that's a big ask.
Yeah, I struggle to, like, come up with things. Mm. And so writing is the bane of my fucking existence.
Does it feel like...
You're like a slow burn creative. Mm. It's there. It's just a different... It just doesn't fall out of your face the way it does with other people. And it's come up before in conversation. Another member of our band, Part-Time Steve, his writing style was similar. Like, he'd have to go away and think about it for a while, and you'd have to leave him the fuck alone, and if you asked him too many times, like, it would probably take him longer, but, like, then when he would come back, it would be fucking gold, and he'd be like, oh, this is so good, this is so fun to sing, and Danny was very similar, like, she would have to go away and think about it, and really be in the headspace or mood to have something coming out, and then it would come out, and you come out, oh, it's so good.
I'm so insecure about things that I write, because I feel like I always write the same thing over and over. Like, bad love, love gone wrong, and it feels really cliche.
Write what you know.
And so I
change.
And so I hate on my own shit so much. Yeah, and same. Like, I often write something and I'm like, garbage, and throw it out before I even let anybody like.
Okay, so I have to show other people.
We're self-critical.
Yeah. Okay. It's just like, ew. But then sometimes it's dope, like you said. But it's, I really have to sit down, like, by myself and fucking focus forever. I often listen to something over and over and over and over until my brain does something.
Yeah, you gotta get into a writing trance. And then you're just like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, because it ain't me. So that's frustrating, because I feel like...
Like a bit of imposter syndrome?
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like your gift is like the space you hold in the moment. It's put you on a stage and put you with an audience, and your art is the interaction with those people. Mm-hmm. And it's the joy. It's the channel of joy, and people love to look at that. And I struggle with this too, because I don't really write any words to any of our songs with our band, because I just go with the moment and what the moment's giving. And that's a gift. It's like a channel, but it does feel silly because I haven't methodically processed this and sat down and like logically listed out all my words. It's all ba-do-ba-da, ba-do-ba-da when I get in the moment. Mm-hmm. And if there's a cutie in the crowd, it's going to be really good, because I'm trying to impress them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that resonates,
no,
but...
It does. It totally does.
Yeah, no, I've definitely felt... That's how. That's a lot of how I've written in the past, too. And if it isn't captured somewhere, then I might not be able to recreate the same thing twice.
Yeah.
But, that's why I just started recording as much as possible, so that I could listen back and write down whatever came out naturally.
Yeah.
And then that would be my starting off point. And I definitely struggled with, like, actually sitting down and writing stuff. I hate that process still. But I've been hating it less now that I've been playing more with you. Cool. But it's a little bit easier just to sit
down
and write it out.
Someone that's like, it's funny that you say that, because like, you're really good at freestyling. And to me, that is writing. That's, I cannot freestyle. Like, it's not, because I don't have words. Mm. Words don't exist here. Mm. But you are so good at that. Just,
I don't know what happens. It's not even that I have the words. It's just that I, like, open up a thing and stuff comes out. It's like a weird, like, channel to something. And sometimes it'll be, like, I've absorbed conversations from the afternoon or the people around or the energy in the room or whatever. It's, like, weird. In that way, and that's partly why I don't remember it after.
Yeah,
and then
you're
so it's like, oh, and then but then yeah. So then but then like, and that's where it's a downside, because people will be like, oh, you're so good, you're so great. Something for this, and then I'll when someone asks me to write something for a song of theirs, I'll sit down and I'm like, I know no words. But it's one
really
of those things.
Dependent on the container that you're in. And I'm curious to ask you and your experience in a couple different kinds of bands, which one's been the one that you feel like helps you channel your like real truest energy the most?
This one for sure, Blase.
Yeah. Blase, for sure.
I think that I feel like I really came out with Blase.
Yeah.
And actually, I gotta give Jesus some like the credit here, because he was very like, when we started playing, he was like, Danny, you're gonna be the person. You're gonna be the front person. You're just gonna do the talking. So you just go talk. And I was like, what? Because with Leg Up, there's everybody wanted to fucking say something. There's 15 people in the band. There's several vocalists. There's people
rappers,
who just, there's rappers, there's dude with a guitar and a microphone for some reason, and Shade. Full Shade.
The wink I just got from Katie. She's like, you don't even need to know.
Like, and everybody, they would talk over each other. So it was like, I found it really obnoxious, and it was gross. And so I would sing, but in terms of talking, it wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. Just like...
You weren't given any space.
Exactly.
Totally.
And everybody wanted to be the fucking mouth, and it was just like, you guys go ahead and do that. So then when I joined Blase, and Jesus was like, all right, you talk. I was like, but I don't know how to do things. What? But now it's like a whole persona. Like, Jesse said that I have a stage character, and... I recognize that I do. I'm like
a little
super
bit.
Nervous.
It's just
and
a version of you. It's a version of you I see sometimes, but it's a version of you that only comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not like a full character, but it's like definitely.
I just
like a hammed up Danny.
It's you when you're the most on, because that's the space that like asks the most of you, and then you show up for that, and that's like a gift. And if anyone gets the opportunity for someone to be like, you're the person who gets to talk on the microphone, take it! Because it does us so much. It
teaches you
so
a lot.
So validating.
It teaches you a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I know. I saw that for sure. I would agree completely, as someone who watched and fangirled when you got back into a project because it was just like, oh, like, Wee Tanny's got to be in something at some point. And, like, then Blasé started being a thing, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then, but even from the beginning of Blasé to the last show I saw of you guys, like, seeing you fully come out and just, like, be you is, like, such a dope thing to watch happen, Laura.
Thanks, guys. It's fun. It's a cool feeling. And I'm always nervous before I got up on stage, and there have been shows, like, when I played Jazz Fest last year, like, my baby Manny was, like, and I was so sad. I was, like, crying before I got up on stage.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, bitch, turn, go.
Yeah, you just gotta and, do it sometimes.
It, like, it really is amazing how, like, a good audience can, like, really bring you back to
it's
life.
The energy exchange. They're, like, giving you all this energy, and you're like, okay, I can go now. I'm getting fuel from you guys. This
totally.
Is, this is
it's
great.
It's quite a high. Yeah. I'm curious if you have the same experience a lot of us do, where if you are, like, on stage, it's big up. Do you ever have a big down after?
Okay, so I don't know if you guys have noticed. After every show, I run away and hide. Mm-hmm. I never, ever get off stage and go out to hang out with people. Yeah. I always disappear for, like, hours because
into the
I
green
have
room to
like...
squeeze Chelsea's titties. You're like stressful.
Yeah.
Stressful.
It works.
It's effective.
But, like, I have to decompress. I have to come down.
Totally. That's a healthy response, I think.
Yeah, it's
I'm
like,
similar, but I want to beeline outside, so by default I end up getting stuck talking to people on the way out the door.
And, oh God,
because I want
like
the cold
the
air.
Nightmare
I want
to
get outside immediately. Danny's, I'm going
to
go hide backstage. I need to get outdoors.
And I feel bad because sometimes it'll be like
people come.
Someone's coming to see me and it's like, yeah, your show was great. And I'm like, perform and I'm like singing at them or whatever, and then I go backstage and I'm like, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm not coming back out. I am so sorry.
You just gave so much of yourself, though. It's weird. You have to like feel like you have to give yourself all of that energy on stage and then keep giving after is actually not sustainable.
It is not.
This is what I'm learning when I'm like, I'm gonna host an event that I'm also gonna perform at. I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm gonna pay someone to host it for me and then I'm gonna perform.
I find a hard time like focusing after that moment too because it's like my ADHD, my eyes want to look everywhere in the room. There's so many noises going on. My brain is just thinking, get outside. And there's someone trying to talk to me. And I'm like,
your brain's that song, run.
Yeah, dude, seriously, that's what it's like. That's exactly it. And so, yeah, that's one of those things. I get it. But it's been,
a healthy response,
I think. But it's good when you have a band of people who support you and who are like holding you in such a good way. Like, it was one thing that, like, when we talked about like anxieties working with new people and whatnot, Danny was like, no, this was something you said to me that you were like, no, that's really healing for me working with this group of people and just how they are. And like times where I felt like I need to like apologize for things and they're like, what are you apologizing for? Like,
they're
that's
like,
fucking
they're
ridiculous.
Like, no, that's not a thing. You don't have to feel bad for that. It's such a contrast. From
and
a
I thought it was nice to see because, but then next level to actually experience it because I filled in for you at the Fernfest show.
I
remember saying to Danny after, I was like, I get it now because like I've seen them in action. And like how supportive they are and how like loving they are. It was a whole different lovely experience.
Yeah, because I mean it was nothing but contention and grief and nightmares with our old band. And it was unnecessary. And it just like when like looking back, it's like how do you communicating with people that way is like so unnatural and so
strange.
We had
good times and good memories, but in spite of all of the crazy.
Exactly, because like we recreated those good times and forced them to happen ourselves in spite of everything else. But with Blasé, they're just so reasonable. It's like we're like, oh, everybody respects each other, everyone's like approachable and assumes the best. Like it's always like benefit of the doubt constantly given.
It's like music should be nourishment instead of a fight.
Exactly
It's like
it was also the first time for me when I subbed in for Danny. Is the first time anyone's ever like taking a measured approach to like how they're like giving me a portion of the show because like, you're not like an equity holding member, you're not investing in this project regularly, so here's whatever. And I was like, that was nice. It was like a good, like that was a nice feeling to come do that thing and then be pleasantly surprised with. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's one of those things where I'm like glad to see that happening and glad to see it flourishing.
Good to know it exists.
And like, and to a point where Danny's telling me about new things she's written and I'm like, hell yeah. That's like, that's just full circle healing.
You have to
feel
really safe to be able to like fully express, especially
it's
a struggle at all. And if you've got fucking drama
from
having that feel like a shameful or a scary situation, because you're always going to be vulnerable in that position. And it sucks when you're younger and you are in those positions. You're so grateful to be doing music at all.
Yeah.
And then people assume that because it's so scarce, it needs to be hard.
Yeah.
What if it was just easy? It's
Why
still special, even if
it's just
easy.
Be easy.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't have to be a fucking...
doesn't have to be a struggle. And that's the industry in a whole, too, whether it's performing it or working in the event space or anything. Like,
artists, we're all vulnerable. We're all scared.
Than it has to be.
And that's why I'm like, let's just sit down and talk about our feelings as artists, and then hopefully more artists will sit down and talk about their feelings as artists, and then more people will sit down and talk about their feelings as artists.
It's like, transparent, you know, experiences.
Yeah, it's been a really fucking awesome experience working with the Blasey boys, and Isaac is so supportive. He's so observant. He sees a lot, and he's got a good brain. So having just like even his additional extra support, because the band is supportive.
But, Isaac is a sweetie.
It's really cool. It's been really good. It makes me feel even worse about not being a good writer, because I want to give him so much. I want to give you the fucking best shit ever. And I'm like, I can't.
But see, I think you are a good writer. It's just blocked. It's just your process. Like, you just have to give time for your process, and you don't have the time. That's the problem. It's not, that
you're busy.
Your process needs slow, like, time, and life as it is doesn't allow for that.
That is true.
No? It is a gift.
You just need to be like, if you didn't have to work all the day and you could just be like tits out in your garden, you'd be writing fucking crazy shit
all the time.
Yeah. Danny would be like, I wrote 6 albums this month because I've just been gardening with my tatas out, and it's fabulous, darling.
The vitamin D on my areolas really helps spark my creative process.
It's so hard. But also, it's really a gift to have a group of people that encourage you in a positive way to challenge yourself at all. I think that those are the most healthy creative relationships.
Yeah.
And definitely. Just to be around people like Isaac, who know way more than anyone reasonable will ever know, because he knows an unreasonable
amount. He has just so many fucking facts in his brain.
Trust me, I feel that way where I'm like, if I wrote you a song and it's only 17 chords, you're not going to be super impressed. But he does have the ability to see both as valuable, and it's mostly just like, the energy that you put in, if it's like genuine, then it resonates, and that's all that really matters. But I feel you with that. But I just know that being around people that like ask that of themselves, it's gonna encourage that to ask that of myself a little bit, which can be scary. But you do have to give yourself the time to like to actually pursue that, and I definitely don't pursue it as much as I could either. And I'm surrounded by a whole bunch of jazz nerds that they practice an hour a day. And I just show up to practice. I might have written, like, a couple lyrics, but, like, they've been practicing, like, the whole time. And I guess I get to feel, like, as valuable by doing all of the admin work. And,
which is you bring a lot to the table.
It's a big
like
a deal.
The social media, everything.
It's a big deal, yeah.
Promo, throwing your own events.
You gotta find ways.
Wrangling the cats, herding the cats.
Totally. You gotta find ways of balancing that out. And I think the emceeing that you do is the glue that holds it all together. It channels the whole performance.
Yeah, if a frontman doesn't interact with the audience, I get bored.
Them without you is just blood.
Without interaction with the audience, you just feel more like background music.
They're good.
They're really good.
They're all great musicians, but I feel like you need that interaction with the audience in general, too. Yeah. Like, even the way that, like, Guillaume, when he's playing, will sometimes interact with the audience in his own way.
Yeah.
With his hair flips and his fucking...
Oh, my God. He matches your
asking the audience for
he's
a
such
file.
A diva. He's always so trying to fuck everybody from the stage.
Can you file my nails, darling, and my nails?
Talking about areolas.
I love him. He's a good air.
Okay, I'm curious. So how long have you been performing in Victoria?
Oh, man. So I've been here for 15 years now, which is psychotic to say. So, yeah, like 15 years, because the year that I moved here was when I joined Warbuck, the first band.
Damn.
And then from that into the Leg Up program. Mm. And then I think there's probably just like a few months between that and like when I started jamming with Jesus and Guillaume and Teus. That was 2019. And then the panini rolled in.
The panini.
And we so had to take a little mini break for that reason. But yeah, so that was, it's been consistent.
How do you think you've seen the live music scene shifting in Vic? Because it's definitely bigger now, but it's also way less supported.
Exactly. So it's really, it's like the city is working against us. But, and it's like a shame because there's such a huge live music scene. Like there's so many bands, there's so much potential.
So much love.
Exactly.
So much talent.
There's so much talent.
Yeah.
And the city is just actively shutting down
any facilities and any access to being able to provide these. Yeah, and it makes it so difficult. And then you also have places like Vancouver, where we would love to go. We've played a couple times in Vancouver. We'd love to go over, but where the fuck do you play in Vancouver? The scene is growing, but it's shrinking at the same time, because where do we go?
Totally. Mm. We were just talking about this today, because the CODA, which is a city-funded event space, charges $1,100 as a flat rate before hiring any of the staff to rent their room.
That's absurd. Sucks. We were looking into playing a show there. And
Matt Dell, what the fuck?
It's... Poor Matt Dell.
I shouted him out on the podcast before.
Honestly.
He's a sweetheart.
I love Matt Dell, and I cannot deal with the fucking, like,
a city-funded space... That's not even a private business. Should not be asking artists to shell out that much.
And that's an absurd amount of money. $1,100
for one show, which you're lucky to make $1,100 at all.
At all.
But this is the thing that makes venues not last, because then no one get there and then go, oh, it was unsustainable. Well, yeah, no thing. One can fucking afford to rent your room.
These guys were gonna book there, and then
and
did it.
And we didn't. Yeah,
we just got like a show offer, and we're not gonna go there.
You can even put a clause in where it's like, here's the minimum rate. If the show does over and above X whatever, then we take an extra cut.
But like,
that doesn't even come with monitors or a sound guy. You have to rent your sound tech, and you have to bring your own gear.
Like what are we paying for?
What is the point? Had a sound system.
They have a PA. They don't have monitors.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Anyways, so what we've decided to do is this is just word of mouth. I can't technically post about this, but we're going to play a show on top of Mount Doug.
Oh, somewhere. Amazing.
And we're just going to get all of our friends to climb up the mountain, and we're going to have all of our gear there. And if we get fined, it's going to be cheaper than the CODA.
Oh my God.
That is so funny.
We're going to
start playing outdoor shows. And just
the very Ollie Downtown Mischief.
I'm literally DMing him tonight, if we get fined,
it's just cheaper than whatever.
That's so sad.
Yeah,
that's so sad.
That's also the point, right? Yeah. It's like our venues are so inaccessible that it's, because we lost the Vec this year, we've lost the Hallway, we've lost a bunch of other, like, the smaller ones that you can just book really easily.
Who took over the Vec, eh?
And they're used to, but I feel like venues are...
Paparazzi.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. That's the whole nightmare.
Yeah.
They're just going to do the same thing, like, literally show and a DJ, that's it. That's all it'll be now.
But I'm curious, like, how you've seen the venue scene change... in those 15 years, because I know that venues are just a fluid state. They're always changing because it's really hard to run an arts space. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple friends that are trying to start a collective vibe, an arts space that we can like use as a venue space, as like a market share space. I'm just trying to like learn as much as possible. So I'm curious how you've seen, because you've probably seen a lot of venues come and go in this town, both of you.
Well, Danny used to work at the Strath, so she's seen from the inside of that one.
I worked in the hotel though, so I didn't really have much insight into like, the functioning of the bars and whatnot. But yeah, it's like Victoria is a city that like needs tourism. It needs to have a draw. We don't, like, it's very pretty here, yes. But outside of that, what are people coming here for?
Vanilla ice cream.
Like,
it's vanilla ice cream.
Exactly. Yes. We need something to put, like, some fucking sprinkles to put on this city. Yeah. And so the live music is such a draw for people. Mm-hmm. And if they could get their shit together and really invest in supporting that, then this place could...
The irony, though... sorry to interrupt, but it just really is in the front of my mind that they just changed the busking policy in the city to try and support the musicians. The city's version of supporting the musicians is putting a curfew. We can't busk after 10 anymore.
No, what?
So you can't legally busk.
The bar hours are the best time.
Exactly.
That's when people tip the most.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
You have to have your license, and you can only busk in specific locations. It's like, how is that helping?
That's less helpful than
before.
We're
going to make it more restrictive.
And also, they don't even do the harbor shit anymore like they used to.
It's bureaucracy not understanding how to support the arts, which realistically, supporting the arts is just get your fucking hands off of it.
Get away from us.
Stop touching it. Leave
us
alone.
Do our thing.
We've been doing this for time immemorial.
Yeah, we
just
can handle it.
Play.
We don't need it. It's like, not, let's support the arts. It's like, let's make money off the arts.
And how about some getting some insight from the people that are actually doing it? Because clearly, they did not. Like, who do they speak to? Who was like, oh, it would be easy, but better if you gave us less time, made it more restrictive? And like, how is this the game?
And then they're trying to flaunt that they have like a new busking program. So like, you want to busk? Get excited to busk in Victoria. As if like... they're trying, like, they're like trying to use it. And this is the thing, is like, I sit here and I complain about it. And this is the thing, is they don't talk to us, but we need to talk to them. So there are ways of building an artist's table, and you can like, get people like Matt Dell involved, and we can fucking complain to them, which we're going to do, but then it's time out of our day to fix their fucking shit. And yeah. Again, it's stupid, but Isaac is, he's going to try and build an artist's
table. And Matt Dell's one person in support of it, but he's only one voice on a council of many. Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but you can have, connect,
and he does his best. He really does.
He does.
Oh yeah, he's definitely passionate about it. It's good to have more people like that and that care, and that have, there's been a few different counselors over the years that have really cared about the arts in one way or another. And it's hard too to be that lone voice in there, especially being like, the more that the city gets just taken over by people who want to like investment property in Airbnb it and not fucking live here or commit to like, then they don't want to put their taxes into anything, so they all vote against shit that helps the city because they don't actually fucking live here.
It's, and I just, okay, Airbnb properties for what? If people don't want to fucking come here because there's nothing to goddamn do,
then you're not gonna,
then what the
money.
Who are you renting your fucking place out to?
Yeah.
It's unsustainable, and it's pissing me off because it doesn't make sense. And if, you know what? I can't.
We don't have to.
I did this thing, yeah. I don't even have to. One of those things where, like, when people come to town and they're like, what is there to do here? Your downtown seems really quiet. And I'm like, yeah, it's gotten quiet. A lot of shit's underground. I'm like, here's some Instagrams to follow. Mostly it's house parties and private events and shit that, like, rent out spaces and warehouses and do their own thing. And then
move into apartments and we can't host anymore.
Exactly, yeah. And then you get kicked out of your place.
I'm trying really hard to connect with the, like, oldie music scene. So we had this awesome woman named Heather reach out for our music village at Otherworld this year, and she's connecting me with 100 of her music friends that are in, like, the soul blues, like, the awesome oldies community. So I'm hoping to, like, get
cool.
connected.
Doug is cool.
Doug's
been emailing
awesome.
Like crazy. He's emailing
Excellent.
About jams all the time. Yeah.
And that's the thing. They've been jamming in this town for 50 years. Like, 40
Yeah, he
years.
Has an email thread at whatever you can just sign up for, and he'll just send you little things like, we're doing this jam at this place, or we're doing a barbecue jam at this place, or,
and
yeah.
it's been happening in Victoria forever, and I'm like, those are the people we need to connect with. Probably they'll have properties that we can use to, like, host events on, and we just need to, like, all actually work together. And I'm really hoping that, like, through our project at Otherworld, like, building a middle micro town just for the live musicians, built by live musicians, can show us that we all have the skills necessary to run our own infrastructures.
We need a hippie music commune.
Yeah, but also we can fucking take over the fucking bureaucratic shit. We just have to know how to get involved and know how to, like, work together and communicate and all these things that I'm like,
and work around their bullshit.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the Coda is such an epic failure. Like, when they're like, we're buying it, we're gonna buy it. Like, I was so excited. Everybody was so excited. It was like, oh my god, this is like amazing for us. This is like finally something good. And then $1,100. Suck my dick.
What kind of like artist can do that? TK is having his album release show.
Yeah.
And he could only rent the front room, and I think he can only rent it for 2 hours. So we're playing a 20-minute set.
Wow.
And he's
Does that
played
include
Phillips.
Your teardown?
He played the backyard.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He opened.
And actually, like, we were initially...
That's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are, which size. If you put blood, sweat, and tears and paid the dues that they've been telling us to pay forever in this industry, you pay the dues in this town, you've been fucking grinding it here forever, that you should... fucking get a break, man. Like, you should be able to, like, make some shit happen for other people.
Yeah. Blase, we were gonna play with, we were gonna do a show with TK at Coda.
Oh my god.
And obviously that didn't work out. And I'm really stoked that he's doing it. But I think, so what, the small room is something like 800, I think, to rent it. Like, it's like, again, also expensive as fuck. And it's a much smaller room.
It's probably the size of Little Fernwood, which is $25 an hour to rent. And this is like $250 an hour for the same size. It's really
ridiculous.
Bonkers because they have the notoriety. I don't know, man.
Like, do they?
It's like, why are you trying to profit off artists, bro? That's not the people you need
and
to
then,
profit.
But they tilt their hat, put on their, like, hero cape.
We did it.
Fuck us over.
We did it. Anyways. Useless.
The city is frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
I think we're resilient, but we're trying our best, and we're doing, you know,
artists will always find a way to make art, and we'll do it in a renegade fashion, or we'll do it with working with them. It's up to them.
It's true.
Your choice, motherfuckers.
It's your choice, motherfuckers.
We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way, and we can show up in whatever parking lot we want to and just play shows.
Did you say...
Oh, yeah. I would love to play. But this is also the thing is we're like, let's play mountaintops. Let's fucking tour the island. And then every city we go to, we just find a hill.
Yeah.
And we go to the top of the fucking hill.
Hilltop jam and then sessions.
Instead
That's
of,
a great idea.
Yeah, I instead of the Grateful Dead, we literally have a lot of battery-powered hikers that just are dedicated. Yeah. Like, come up. It's not like the most successful.
We do have a lot of but, battery-powered things.
Yeah, well, at least Mav Dog has the rope. Like, my grandma's going to come to that show. That's and cute. It's going to be real fucking sweet. But I know that you said you can't, as in maybe we don't dig this hole forever. So I was wondering if you wanted to get into a much happier topic of the dating scene here in
Victoria. Oh, my God. That segue was so crazy. The mic peaked on that cackle. That was fucking funny.
Oh, my God. You're
I think you have unhinged. Lots of good things to say.
Yeah,
and
oh my God.
We were just talking, like, Katie and I recorded an episode, and it's really funny because since last episode that we talked about, which was basically like, how do we ethically fuck all our friends? We reached out to you, and you said that you really want to talk about like just being like single for life. And then since that conversation, you've chosen that life, and I've literally got engaged. Fun to be at opposite ends of the spectrum.
So
and that's also funny. Katie's been like living your best life, have some really fun stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, we're coming into summer and we're coming into like the scene and also going to shows and like being like a musician on stage
and good energy, and whether that's whatever path we're choosing, we're all feeling that abundance in one way or another.
Yeah.
And sometimes that sense of abundance and confidence comes from just deciding I'm fucking done with this shit, like Danny.
Totally. Like, but also being so fulfilled by that and so fulfilled like, by our Danny's musical relationships.
Well, I mean, for as long as I've known you, it's been something that inspired me is that how much like you were always like, I can take it or leave it because, like, my life is good and I'm fucking dope as fuck, so whatever.
Honestly, so that happened after Simon. And not to say that Simon...
Shout out
but
Simon!
Simon!
I love you!
Simon, I love Simon, and I was in a relationship. And so, like, after we broke up, I was just like, it's so shitty out here. People are so awful.
It's gotten worse too.
It really has. I didn't know it could get worse, but there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And after I took a break, I had a string of horrible dating experiences, and then there was one in particular that was awful, and I was like, I'm taking a break. I can't do this shit. And it was because I recognized that my self-esteem was deeply reliant on feeling accepted by men.
Yeah. Totally.
Whenever there was a rejection or a ghosting or like just some fucking bullshit, I would get extremely depressed.
It's not if, it's when. Sorry.
Literally.
Yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
I'm done. I would get so depressed. I would feel like a piece of shit. Because they did things to make me feel like I wasn't worth
anything. Yeah, and you can be rock solid confident and someone can just eke in under your skin in a way that you didn't mean for them to. And then you're like, ah, fuck, now you're affecting my...
Totally.
My more than will I to live. Want that to. Like, you're making me depressed. So I was like, I need to take a break because the fact that this makes me react this way, makes me feel this way is like too shitty. Took this break and it ended up going for 5 years. And during those years, at first I was like, you go through the 3 months.
Adjustment period.
Yeah, where you're like, am I lonely? I'm lonely. I don't know. I'm sad. I want to fuck somebody. Oh, I feel... And then you get past it and then you're like, oh, I'm chill. I love having my bed like starfish worthy for myself and my cat. I like not having to deal with anybody in my fucking space unless I come for a sleepover anytime. But in terms of waking up there being a man and being like, oh, you can go. Or being at somebody else's house and waking up in somebody else's bed and having to like go home. I came to value my space and my time.
Routine.
And I nourished my friendships and met more people as a result and did everything that I wanted to do when I wanted to do it 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any, oh, let me check and see if this person wants to. Let me see if he or she or they, if let me check in. Oh, they don't feel like doing this thing, so I just do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And in doing that for 5 years, I've realized that like I'm like deeply fulfilled and happy. My life is so fucking full that if I'm going to have a partner, if they're not 100% enriching it, then you gotta go. There's no...
The bar is quite high, as it should be.
The table,
and it makes sense, because you've got these wonderful men in your band, and I'm sure, like,
other people in your life too that have that high standard of how much they value, respect, and support you.
That's hard too, yeah, because we've had this conversation before. We're like, we have great friends, and that honestly sometimes makes it more difficult to date because it's like, we originally had a bar in hell. And then your friends, like, eke it up a little bit at a time. You're like, oh, wait, this is how people are supposed to treat me. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, and then you try to date and people are, like, trying to give you less.
Well, the people that are out there dating casually, too, they don't feel like they owe you anything. Yeah. Whereas your friends are, like, committed to you. And it does make sense in some ways. But that, like, mindset of just because I'm not deep in your life means that I get to treat you however I want.
Yeah, but whether you're going to be deep in my life or deep in my vagina, you got to give me some damn respect. Yeah. I'm like, my friends,
you want to get close to me at all. Respect.
If you're going to, if you think you're going to be intimate with me and skip a step that, you know, of friendship, it just seems ridiculous.
Totally.
Here's the thing. I've never had sex with anyone that's good enough to put up with the bullshit.
Like, exactly.
I'm just like, I've got great same. Sex toys. I get myself no, better no than dick is good anyway. Enough for the nonsense. So it's like, what is the fucking point? If
sex
it's
toys,
not worth
burning
it.
Burning down the patriarchy one by one.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. One at a time.
Like, it's the fact that people don't just give respect to people, like, the idea that, like, you have to be deeply connected to someone, like, in a committed thing for mm-hmm. them to treat you well is, yeah. like,
that's
really
the thing.
Gross.
Even casually, you should be able to be friends. That's what I'm saying. It's, like, the fact that people think that they can get off with just, like, being ridiculous to each other because yeah. it's casual is a bullshit. It's a cop-out. Insane. And in my experience, the best sex I did have was with people who came with less bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, they understood that the respect and compassion comes hand in hand with it, and that made the interactions better.
And mm-hmm. also, just, like, being a woman at all is tiring.
Yes, it is. Awesome.
And when I see these men, and I hear these stories about men, or just, like, anyone with the, like, tag-along toxic masculinity or the deficit of respect, I could say, that comes from our society, yeah. I see that problem, and I'm like, it's not mine to fix. I'm dealing with my own shit. This requires so much time and care to, yes, mend their, like, scaredness of their insecurities and all that shit, but that's not mine to fix.
Oh, not my problem.
No.
I don't, like...
And, like, I can have empathy for it, but I'm also just gonna keep a boundary.
This is the thing. I'm that's a bit cutthroat yeah. that way, where yeah. I'm like, I'm sorry that you're going resources. Through a thing, but get the fuck away. It's not my fucking problem.
Not on my time.
I'm here to support my friends. I will support, like, my, like, people who are good and who deserve,
oh,
like,
sure.
like,
yeah, for
like,
you.
It was nice to meet you. Here's a link to a counseling resource. Have a nice day.
Sorry, bye.
I am
not my
therapist.
Problem. Fix it. I'm a mess myself.
I
put in my time and energy and work to make myself better.
Yeah.
You can do it too. Mm-hmm. You're a man.
I know.
You're
and people get
strong
caught in it. People get caught in that empathy, like, wormhole, and, like, a lot of men be out there, like, relying on their girlfriends and their wives to
yeah.
fix them.
And then we'll turn around and cheat on them.
They'll be like,
yeah.
I don't have the
or
energy.
Or be fucking, like, shitty to them.
Yeah, they'll be like, I'm going through something.
But
I can't, like, give you attention or connect with you right now. And it's like, but you breadcrumb until you feel like you want some attention, then you expect me to
yeah.
leap to give you the attention
also,
you want in that moment. Or you want to just, oh, now you're, like, you're aroused, so you want to give attention to someone.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, this is not how that works. And they're
yeah.
like, oh, I told you I was going through something. And it's like, yeah, that's fine. You're allowed to be going through something. I'm also allowed to have
you're still
standards.
Responsible for your
I'm
behavior.
I'm also allowed
exactly.
to, like, say, hey,
and
someone needs to, like, maintain a connection in
yeah.
order for you to want to do something.
And the more people are codependent on people to fix their shit for them, the less you build that skill set yourself. And
exactly.
you're never going to be able to, like, handle your own shit.
Exactly. I just... It's sad, it's pathetic to me that our society is built where, like, women have to fix everything for these, like, we all have the same amount of capabilities and, like, fucking strength. I'm one
yeah.
person, that's a
and
it's like, if
we're
you,
put
if
in this world with a deficit of rights and fucking pay and shit, sorry.
Exactly. No,
we still have to fix your shit for you?
Like, why? What do you mean? You have everything. You fix it. Fuck. And I won't do it.
No.
I'm not doing it anymore. I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, unless you are enhancing and benefiting my life, I'm not doing it.
Which
that's
yeah.
why, like, with this shouldn't. Most recent thing, I'm like, one chance
yeah.
to fuck with me.
There are not multiple chances.
One,
this isn't baseball.
No,
there's no three strikes and you're out.
And when I
one
watch my friends
off.
Going through, like, the repeated shit with the same fucking guy, like, the same shitty person over and over for fucking months and years, I'm just like, why are you doing this? There's no benefit here for you. And they're hurting you. It is
yeah.
making your life worse.
It's taking more than it's giving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're giving everything to this mm-hmm. person who is just mm-hmm. stomping on you, and you're teaching them yeah. that they can treat you this way.
Yeah. And rebuilding yourself after a situation like that is really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, after, yeah, I'd, yeah, that's what was one of my relationships that made me just look at everything differently. It was, like, drained me of everything that, who I was. I felt super fucking lost. Hollowed out after, and was yeah. just, like, it's just one of those things.
But also, like, I feel it goes for literally any kind of relationship, friendships, like, employment mm-hmm. standards. I'm literally, like, I just want to feel matched. If yeah. you can give me 20% today, I'll match your 20%. You mm. can give me 50%, I'll match your 50%. If you can give me 100%, I'm going to show up for mm-hmm. that, because that is fucking rare. And I've had many people who've fucked me over, but then they, like, turn around and they're like, okay, but I want to mend this. And I'm like, okay, you're offering to put the work in, then I'm going to give you a chance, but you mm-hmm. have to prove it.
You have to yeah, do or it. Proof is in the pudding. People continuously say yeah. they want to be it. In your life, but then they don't follow through.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, we have to spend time together. We want to hang out. I want to do this. Because I am here and I am ready to do yeah, that, but you need to follow through.
All relationships involve tension and struggle and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And intention.
Exactly.
And investment.
Exactly. Yeah. It has to be for a worthy cause. Are you dealing with my crazy the way I'm dealing with yours? Are we both like helping each other work through this, or am I carrying the whole burden of it?
Is this like a transactional thing where, like, you use me to for things that you need mm-hmm. and then you're not there otherwise?
It's so funny in the dating scene too, how men will claim often that it's us who are the transactional ones, but really it, when you look at it, it's often the men who are seeking the transaction. They just don't see it as such because they view us using them transactionally in like a, but like then they don't look at the transaction of all the energy that we put out as like support and like being a person you call, being a person you lean on, whatever else.
And it just in like regards to friendships as well, like I'm very cutthroat. I don't fuck with people that are shitty. I refuse to let people that are not good into my space and my world. And because I'd be like, you're as good as the company you keep.
Yeah.
If you lie down with dogs, you'll rise up with fleas. And again, just like life is really hard already. And I'm going to give as good as I get, right? If I have a friend who is not being, like you said, if it's 20%, then that's what I'm going to... I'm not going to chase you.
No.
I'm not going to force you to be my friend. I actually went through something with a group of girls who, like, for years, just... I was like... It was like I was begging them to be
I hate when you get put friend. In those situations.
Feeling, yeah. And they're favorite. Always like, oh, no, we love you, Danny. And then, oh, everybody's on Pender Island. And
nobody said anything. Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. One day I was just like, I'm done. I'm just walking away from this. And I did, and that's when, oh, lo and behold, I meet Jeff and Ellie and Sarah, and my whole world expands.
You gotta make the space for
instead
it.
Instead of chasing these people,
yeah,
I made space and went out and met other people who've just totally. Completely improved. My life is so dope now. You
never have to ask. Exactly. Yeah, it's
and
just there.
I feel like when you're wasting your time and your energy on friendships or relationships in general, and jobs, like you said, that are not benefiting you, that hurt you or hold you back. It is
anything.
Taking its time that could be putting towards meeting and experiencing
or just yourself.
Or yourself.
The second you put that energy.
And stare at the ceiling if you need to. But that's positive too. As long as it's not making you feel bad, it's good.
Yeah.
So like whatever it is, just get the negativity out of your life because shit is going to keep happening to us. Whether we like it or not, there's going to be tragedy.
And you need some people around you who are going to be there with you through it. And even if that's in a situation where... Because Danny and I have both had our times where we're like, life is life and it's being hard. And both of us are like in our own little weird hermit bubbles. But we'll still be sending each other unhinged voice memos. And that's how we stay in touch and connected through those times.
Like,
we adapt our friendship to meet the needs of the moment and we're still there for each other, and that comes with intention, because like from the minute I saw Danny sing, I was like, I remember sassing Marco and being like, you little son of a bitch, you keep this girl a secret, you know her, you just sing with her, you just you know this girl, you just don't tell me the fuck you. And then immediately from that moment on, I was like, oh yeah, I love this girl, I'm gonna know this girl. And you want someone who does take a little time to let people in, but you're always like nice from jump. It wasn't like you were mean or anything. You're just like, you take time to suss people out. But once they're in there, they're in there.
I assume the best about everybody when I meet them at first.
Me too.
And then I watch, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as I like catch wind of some shit, I'm like, oh, they're okay. No, never mind.
And
I'm not going to be like a bitch. I'm not going to blow your shit up. I'm just going to quietly exit the room.
Yeah. Totally.
Leave you to your shitty devices over there.
I just had this interaction with someone and we were like butting heads trying to organize something together. And it was our first time organizing something together. So she was like new to me. And she was like telling me all these fears that she was having. And I was like, and she was like, I guess I have like trust issues. And I was like, I guess I just like naturally think people are going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to hold on to. And she was like in this deficit of, I guess like I just default assume people are going to fuck me over. And that's a symptom of our world. Unfortunately, look at the like people controlling the planet. They're not doing a very good job. Our role models not be role modeling.
And also different people's upbringings too. Totally. If they've been betrayed by people close to them, then it's even harder.
It's
to
a
trust
valid through. Thing. And I have empathy.
People project a lot.
Yeah.
The people that are like always accusing you of lying.
Yeah.
Like themselves liars. And I find that if someone is inherently negative like that, sometimes I'm like, is it because you're someone that isn't that, I don't know her, I don't like, don't see
well,
that,
that was,
some, it's the, that kind of thing makes me think sometimes. I'm like, okay, does that mean I can rely on you?
Yeah.
Because why would you assume that you can't trust people?
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, the default is like,
you manifest your existence.
I believe you're good until
and
you show me otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. And that like warmth while still being like self-protected in not like a shut down world. Like you can be warm and you can also be like strongly self-assured. And I think that is like the energy that people are so drawn to, because that's the ultimate matriarch figure that like we all wish our moms were. It's like you're warm, but like you are standing up for yourself. Any parent, any person, I just find it very like attractive. And the more that I can embody that energy in myself, like I have this ethereal character that I like created up in this like arts workshop bullshit hippie thing, and I named her Mama Coyote because I want to be this like character that's, I feel like a mama. I've got like my legs open, my arms open, I'm like, come in. But then I've also got a
trickster
energy that's like shifty, and I'll fuck with your shit a little bit too. But balancing that like mature groundedness, I think the groundedness is what I mean. It's like you can be like grounded, represents to me like you're self-assured, you know where you stand. So in that way, you're able to observe other people and you're not constantly shifting. If others are shifting, you're just like, I'm not at the whims of you. I am me. And maybe our energies come together. They make something really cool. But if I see you fucking like expecting me to bend over backwards every 5 seconds for you, I'm going to leave. Hello, everyone. We are interrupting this very long conversation, but we promise it's worth going back to, because Isaac comes in at the end and gives us a little sneak peek in what it's like being in the same band as Danny right now. I wanted to highlight a little bit of that band specifically. I'm going to play you guys one of my favorite Blasé Blasé songs, Nightlight. And this song not only demonstrates the hype that these 4 or 5 artists put together when they're recording. So like, imagine this, but on the stage, and they're like yelling it in your face, and it's just like so intoxicating. And then I'm also selfishly going to play the end of the song where the crescendo goes into my lovely lad's sax solo that is my boy. I'm not biased at all, but I hope you enjoy. Here is Nightlight. So good. Okay, guys, back to the episode.
this is a question that I, this is something I already know the answer to, but I just want to hear you say it for other people. It's like, things that, like, you, in your experience, led you to be able to be so grounded. Things that have tools or lessons and things in your life, especially whether it's in music and dealing with all the crazy fucking personalities over the years, dealing with men and all their nonsense the years. Yeah, and just going through the things that we've gone through up and down and whatever. Like, you always have this sense of yourself and this grounded way that you process things. Mm. And I love it and have learned a lot from it. Danny's always wanted to be like, Katie, think about it for a minute before you freak out. And so it's great to have that. But I'm curious for those other people how you came to build that skill for yourself.
Growing up, it was a struggle. My mom was a single mother and I have a twin brother. And he was quite ADHD and it was a lot. And so she was like, yeah, she was like mean to me. She didn't like me. And it was like, I had to, like, it came from pain, essentially. Yeah. I was treated in a way as if I was, like, a bad person. As if I was this, like, liar or this. It was like, people were trying to create a persona about me that I recognized was not real.
So being firm in your sense of self was that much more important.
Exactly. It came from just being like, I'm not who you're saying I am. And I don't have the fucking energy to be sneaky, shitty, bad to people. I find it actually, it's a lot easier to be.
It is a lot easier. It takes so much more energy.
And so for me, I just, it was because I hated the way that people tried to tell me who I was.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm doing it to be stubborn. I know who the fuck I am. I'm going to be the best person that I can be in spite of people who want to talk shit and try to tell me who I am according to them. And yeah, so I don't know. It became just a part of me. It's not something that
I'm going to tell you who I am if I show you who I am.
Yeah, I'm just going to go. And like I said, I think that being a positive energy in the world, like, when I die, I want people to be sad about it. So my favorite book is East of Eden by John Steinbeck, and there's this quote that is about, it's something, it goes along, something like, if a man should die, it would be a horror if his dying brought pleasure to the world. And essentially saying that you want to live your life in a way so that you're leaving,
your impact
is positive. You don't want to give, like, joy because you're going. And I want you guys to have a good time around me. That's just like my shit. Yeah. And in trying to achieve that, I think my intentions, I know what they are. I know what I'm here for. I know what I'm doing. And so I don't know.
There's a really cool, like, balancing act that needs to be done to make other people feel comfortable when you have a big personality, though. And this is something, I don't know, you might both have come into, is that people can be scared and intimidated.
I'm sure we've both gone through it, but we give less fucks about it, because over time you're like, you try to, like, make people comfortable by making yourself small, and then you realize that's a terrible idea, and it just makes you sick sometimes. Like, it makes you, and it can get out of hand, shrinking yourself, and then you accidentally shrink yourself too far.
Yeah,
and
lose
yourself.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Me neither.
Yeah, we just care less.
I just try to throw a lot of warmth out there.
That's the thing, yeah.
Super fucking friendly and approachable. So if anytime someone comes up to me, I'm going to be nice.
And that's like a superpower, and I think that makes it a lot less scary intimidating, because I don't consider you scary intimidating, but you still have that, like, big aura and presence about you, and people get
a lot of times, even if we don't like you, we're gonna kill you.
Yeah, and people get threatened by that, and I do find that is the superpower. It's like disarming people before they even have the opportunity to be freaked out, and you can do that in such a gentle way. For me, it's like being silly and stupid, and I think you guys are both like that as well. I'm gonna be the stupid one first.
So yeah, no, dumb.
You can come with me.
Yeah, totally. And
we're all be uncomfortable too. Or I'll point out that I'm uncomfortable in this moment, so you know that you're, like, not alone.
Why take yourself seriously? I refuse to do that. Yeah, that's fucking boring. Dumb. And
plus, if I take myself too seriously, then I, like, go down this rabbit hole of picking it all apart, and then the depression comes in, and and then everything
is so over yourself. Get the fuck over like yourself.
We were literally a monkey not that long ago.
Mitch, please.
We're a whole monkey.
Man, like, how, like, farting, burping, like, we're gross. Yeah. And we're, like, get over yourself. So, I don't know. I just, like, people
we're just all fumbling around here. Lucky we don't stumble into manholes more often. Literally, like, it's just, everything's a bonus. Like, just enjoy it.
A broken body. Like, my ankles, both of them. I'm falling all of the time. I cannot, I'm not a good person. It's...
Same.
Let's just be friends and have a good time.
I really liked what you said about how being chill is actually easier.
It is.
Because I think sometimes, like, the person that came to my mind when you said that is a couple friends of mine who, like, stress so much about being responsible that it actually, like, always doing the morally correct thing and always being ethical and, like, always playing the devil's advocate, they actually live a very hard life and are very stressed and very uncomfortable all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you actually gave less fucks, you internalize having a more positive experience, which actually helps the world more.
Yeah.
It's like people who are so stressed about, like, perfectionism.
And then doing the right thing comes more naturally, too, because you can overthink the moral choice a lot. And
I get that we're scared monkeys, and I get that we're at a deficit of ease in this world. I don't blame anyone for freaking
that's
the fuck
why I
out.
Think, that's yeah. what I think. That's why joy and chill and play are now a rebellious act. It's a revolutionary act to hold on to that happiness, because it's what... That's what they
They're
want,
gonna charge us $1,100 to have joy.
They want
fucking,
you to that's but that's
sing kumbaya to each other.
We're the in, burning it down,
with,
Coda.
With political shit and everything else going on in the
what
world.
What does Coda
like,
stand for? Cunty,
wants us to be
oppressive, Lord. Dickheads,
assholes.
Sorry, Katie.
It's like,
I love you. I like that we're just talking about being chill and then you just like roast the Coda.
We'll take
them
out.
But I'm all about optimizing my play and my fun. Like, that is my life mission, is I want to do it as best as I can so that it resonates with how important it is. Because it's the only way we navigate this shithole.
I feel like that's what I live for. Like, I work so that I can have a home and do fun shit with my money. That's why I work. I'm not people who like gotta save it and go, I have money going into savings. Well, what the fuck am I working for if it's not to enjoy
to
my
live
life?
The life that you're living
I
already
work so that I can be silly.
Exactly. Me and too. That's what I told Isaac when
there's
he bought his $10,000 saxophone today.
Right?
I was like, there's you only got one life, baby.
Exactly.
Literally, we don't have kids. Like, fucking do it.
Yeah, you guys are a couple of dinks. You're fine.
We're going to be
double
fine.
Double income, no kid. But the thing is, that's one of those things. It's like, there was a time in my life where if I, like, went back in a time machine and saw my teenage self and was like, yo, we're still alive and we are, like, making music and stuff and we're, like, mostly broke a lot of the time, but we have fun. They'd be like, shit,
you're
didn't
loved,
die?
You're supported.
And, like, I would be, there was a time where I'm like, I'm surprised I lived this far. I'm not worried a whole lot about the old age thing. It'll figure itself out, or I'll just, like, cruise on out of, put me on an iceberg and float me away. I don't give a fuck. But I'm like, I'm here to live now in the moment and have as many experiences
Hell
as I can
yeah.
and
yeah.
love as hard as I can and laugh as many times as possible.
Yeah.
And if I get to do a bunch of that, then fuck,
I
cool, it's a win.
Also find it very hard to idealize my future when our world changes so quickly.
That's the thing too, and I'm like down in the same like mode of thought of Dan. The whole like when like I just want to live
invest in what's
to
in
the,
front
what,
of me.
What, I want to live. And my goal in life, my idea of success is like how will my absence be felt once I'm gone?
Yeah,
that's more so than what's in my account, what's my savings, what my retirement look like. You know, what's my ripple effect when I'm gone?
What's the impact that you had when you were here? Totally. Yeah. And I don't want a funeral. I want an after party.
Yeah.
Dope. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, after parties. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the vibe for
I want
sure.
you to all get stoned with my body. Mm. We all get really with high together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just use my dead ass finger to like
bring just take some bumps.
Just like taxidermy you and put you on strings like a puppet.
Stuff me full of ketamine. I'm a fucking
one last,
pinata,
one last
and you just start
clown
whacking
show
me, and I'm just spitting out fucking ketamine into the crowd.
Grim.
Just do you up like a clown and have one last clown show.
Yes, but I'm like a marionette.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like
marionette style.
These funerals do exist.
They do.
They will.
My mom used to say she just wanted to be propped in the corner, blinged out, and have people tell jokes.
I'm so down for it.
That's great. My sister honors her memory that way. She has jokes in her comedy set about my mom, and I'm like, she's like, I want to do this joke in front of you guys because it's like a healing thing. I just felt like it's like a thing because we were all at her show recently, my brother, my dad, and myself. And she was making jokes about my mom and her brief window into Clay Aiken obsession. And it's one of the most joked about times in our life, too. All my friends remember her for that and things like that. But it was funny, too, because I'm like, I just said to my sister, like, you don't know how much that is just hit the nail on the head of exactly what she would want to be remembered by. Like, she's the source of joke content that you tell over and over again to audiences of people. That's literally her dream. So yeah, that's totally cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I want that too. Please, thank you.
I will tell the stories of your.
Do you have any good Danny stories you could share right now?
Piss myself on stage.
Yeah, I will share your pee stories for the rest of my life, long after.
Let's get it right here, right now. Danny's pissed in a flower pot.
That was just one that I thought was the most impressively stealthy, because we were all sitting, everyone was smoking outside the bar downtown, and they have these like hexagonal flower pot things, and Danny was sitting on the edge of it, and I'm the only one noticed, only because I saw her back arch a little bit, and I was like, Danny, hypervigilance, just observing things. And I was like, are you sneaky peeing right now? And she's like,
all the time.
Impressive. Yeah, dude. No one noticed. It literally just looked like she was stretching for a hot second and then she was done. I've seen her like pull this off a multitude of times. But one of the times that made me like, that threw me the most in laughter was when we were at Atmosphere Festival. And
that wasn't deliberate, though. That was...
No, that was just that there was no time to go to the bathroom before the set, and we all know how tiny Danny's bladder was, and she was like, uh-oh, this could go terrible. But she was wearing... Like, we were all a little bit costumed up, and she had this flowy, like... I'm Jesus type muumuu fucking thing on, and it was like...
I call it like this, like...
Space prophet muumuu. It was so funny.
I can't wait to see it.
So she had her, like, two stage drinks that were there or whatever, but she didn't have time to do the customary, I need to pee first to empty this bladder. And there's a song where we, like, hit and hold a note for a long time.
So this ballad that I wrote, and there's this, like, really high note. And so as I was like, oh, my God, I have to
your diaphragm. So fucking badly.
And I was like, oh, God, when I hit this note, that's it for me. I knew that singing that fucking note was going to be what blew
the damn out.
I fucking knew it. And so I was like, so what I did was, because it was like a floor-length, shiny muumuu thing. And so I was like, okay, so I, like, stood with my feet a little bit far apart. And was like, and just like, it pissed straight down, and it like, just like, just straight to the ground.
And then she taps me on the shoulder and is like, Katie, I just pissed on the stage. Like, what?
Song ended, and I was like,
Katie, no, it wasn't ended. Your part ended. I had to still sing. And then you went to me and you were like, I did this, and then you showed me a puddle, and then I had to sing after that, and I was started to giggle.
It was during Hometown Heartache when I pissed myself.
Oh, what?
It was when I was at, when I like had to like, it was between, and I was like, Katie, I pissed myself. And I stepped back, and then you did have to sing because
I was cackling and trying not to laugh.
Stepped back, showed her the puddle, and then stepped back over it and was like, fuck. And then,
and all I can think about is that I know she's trying to run around somewhere to find somewhere to pee, and I'm just like trying to sing and be serious and trying not to laugh.
We had this instrumental song called Turnstile. And because I didn't piss all of it, I just like pissed enough to be able to like go back to clenching.
Breathe.
And so I was like,
giggle.
I was just like, turnstiles. So like that, it was
literally changed the set list. She's like, you got to do this song because I need time.
I needed to run off stage. And so I ran and then went to try to use the porta potties, and people were in them. So I squatted next to it in the dark, and then this fucking flashlight shines on me with my like ass out in the process of pissing, and it's a security guard, and I was like, sorry, and pissed, pulled my shit up as he was like, and ran up on stage and kept going.
I love you.
That's funny. And then so the running joke was that she owns that stage because she marked her territory. And so we were just like, Danny marked her territory on the stage, and it was like a running bit for a long time. It was very funny.
Every band needs a fucking instrumental song just in case.
Dude, honestly, I need to talk to Isaac and the boys about this.
Word of warning.
Danny's like, we've come close. I want to be on stage.
At least give me an interlude.
There's got to be a break for Danny and fucking useless-ass bladder. And the thing is, I like to get a little buzz going.
I know, so, me like, too. And then on top of that, if you're ever nervous at all, your body's just like mass exodus, everything evacuates.
Exactly.
I have the my ADHD brain is just like, what? We have to pee? And then by the time like things is over, I'm like, I have to pee like my life depends on it.
Speaking of peeing, I really have to pee now.
I can hold my bladder like crazy. It's really insane.
Okay, another. There's so many stories that I even have of Green Room Danny is just like a fucking...
Oh my god, actually, that reminds me of a really... Go I have a it. Video clip of this too. I should send you a clip and you can insert it into the pod. It'd be so funny. I sent it to CBG recently because I was like, remember this? Good times. So we played a venue in Nanaimo, and for whatever reason, there was like jiu-jitsu equipment upstairs in the green room. The green room was like a fitness room or something. So we go upstairs and we're like chilling, and all of a sudden Danny's, what's all this shit? What's this fucking karate jiu-jitsu shit? What is this? And so all of a sudden we start fucking around. We got pads. We're like hitting each other and stuff. And then Danny discovers this full dummy, or someone discovers this full like fighting dummy, and it's very heavy. And somehow it ends up pinning Stevie G to the ground, and Danny's on top of it just humping the two of them into the floor, and you just... see Stevie G is just and Danny's like, ew! It was so funny. Oh man. And I just have it, and it's just, yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite like things I've captured on of our little band memories.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome.
Because I would usually be the one to capture little clippets sometimes, and I was always like obsessed with creating
video
memories.
For that exists.
It does,
and it
yeah.
Came out, it came.
I've sent it back
recently.
To you guys recently.
Okay, I look psychotic.
It was so funny.
I love finding green room shit. One time we were, it was actually the first show we ever played when Herman's Upstairs was Herman's Upstairs with you. You guys played when we played like a fig set before we were
and
like.
And TK was drumming for you
TK
guys.
TK was our drummer. It was before we were like good, but we were in the green room, and I was just telling the story the other day, and there was like all these tablecloths.
Oh, I was at that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I had blonde hair.
Yeah, I remember.
But we found like this tablecloth, and I picked it up, and it's actually this giant wizard's robe. And my buddy Ian put it on, and it had a cape and giant arms. Ugh. And he found a giant like stick, and I have a video
of
him going,
"Consistent green rooms
shall not." Boss! Anyways, he took it home and he still owns it.
That's hilarious. The green room
fucking awesome. Green room lore is actually, it runs deep. The worst green room I've ever been in was the Lake Town Shakedown bullshit.
Oh my god,
that was the worst experience of my life. Danny and I were there together. We drove
home
Lake
Town story
bitching for 2 hours straight.
Every time we go to fucking Lake Town,
it's awful.
We are pissed off the entire. I fucking hate that festival.
Dude,
I
ran around that festival looking for food for the band for 45 minutes. Every single staff that works there doesn't know what they're doing. And everyone is just like, I don't know, go over there. I don't know, go over there. And I literally got 10,000 steps in just looking for fucking ribs for you.
It's insane. It's stupid. Nobody knows anything, but they're all combative. Everybody wants to stop you and be like, what are you doing? Who are you? What's you
doing?
And
we should
like,
just start
you
doing
haven't
that
answered
them.
Anything. Honestly.
We should be like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Like,
they wouldn't. So half the time at festivals, people don't know who's working and who isn't. So you could do that and they probably wouldn't know.
This one's just particularly poorly organized.
It's unbelievable how fucking. It's like a joke.
Yeah. Do you remember when I left the green room to come watch you on stage and I went back to get my bag and the security guards, no, you're not allowed.
And I had to come over and I was like, are you kidding?
I was like, I have a guest pass on my wrist.
Just
what are you talking about?
Now, just no. The answer is just no because I say so. And I had to go over and I was like, let her through.
I was like, I'm literally
this
like.
This is why when I'm emceeing for festivals, I make sure I know all sorts of things. Because as someone who's like the face on stage a lot, people will ask me questions to everything. And I will make it my business to know all the answers as many as I can.
And this is why I love Otherworld is because festivals of that size shouldn't try to be organized.
Nugget.
Just trust that people will figure it out themselves.
And here's an idea.
Let the art happen. Don't control it all.
Here's an idea, too. If you have artists that you've asked to come and perform at your festival, maybe treat them with the smallest amount of fucking respect.
Like ensuring that they can, survive.
Can help them get their equipment
up the fucking hill. That's a whole other conversation.
To the stage.
There's a whole other conversation that this...
Why are you asking us to come and then treating us like we broke in?
Local bands don't get the care and respect they deserve, considering that we help keep the scene going through in between when the big names are here. All the respect to the people you fly in from wherever and paid a bunch of money to be here, but the people who are doing it for less money,
our friends are
and
in
whatever,
the crowd.
We're bringing the
Those
audience
are our friends.
From local places and doing these things. We're hustling year round for the scene.
Amen.
I find that most places are actually pretty good. Pacina Bay was incredible.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of places that are good
always
for sure.
To us. But Lake Town is the worst experience, and every time it has been terrible.
It's like an industrial bureaucratic nightmare.
And it's everybody. It's not just our band. Every band that I've spoken to that has played Lake Town has been fucked over by those people. Every single one.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Apparently they're trying to make that property into a giant amusement park. That's why some of it might be closed down for Otherworld this year, is because they're doing land testing.
They're building condos as well, like
on the land.
No.
Someone mentioned that to me last year.
They're trying to develop it all.
No, oh, Jesus Christ.
There's a whole thing happening
there. So well, that might mean that Otherworld gets to move somewhere cooler, hopefully, which would be awesome. Do you know Otherworld used to happen at Pacina Bay? That's where the first Otherworld happened.
No, the first Otherworld happened at Sunny Days Campground in Shawnigan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them happen.
Would have been amazing.
Right? On the ocean, Otherworld.
Well, Sunny Days.
But let's say in a couple years it might move again, because I think that should happen. But
I would love it to move, actually, to be honest. Like, I'm not, that site is not great. I'm not crazy about it. You have to hike up that hill. It's like shitty down here, where it's like dusty and dry and weird grass. It's a parking lot. And then you hike up the hill and that's fine, but then there's like where you guys were camped last year, like
by the shitters. Parties,
by the shitters with like stone, like it's not ideal. It's not accessible.
No.
That's one thing I'm nervous about. Much better places tenting is like being with my knee and shit, like sleeping right on the ground might be difficult. I'm like, might have to try to, depending on where we end up, like I might have to figure out a way to make my car artistic and cool and part of being able to be like part of the barrier, so I
think if it's an accessibility thing, that totally flies for
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really looking forward to the summer. I'm really looking forward for you guys to play more shows so we can fucking tour again, because I love touring with you. And also hopefully we can do some shows together with our boys, because I'm in love with them just as much as you are. It's such a good crowd.
It's very good. I have this band of husbands, and then I'm also like,
I feel that way
I
too.
I get everybody's girl is the best. All of the girls are also my wives. So I'm in this like amazing.
It's nice when you don't lose your bandmate relationships because of partnerships. It's always good when it's supportive when, like, and everybody like, gets
what
along.
What a win! What a fucking
everyone's
win for
equally
me.
Committed,
and just lovely. Sometimes. When you're just a lot of different people, and this person has a girlfriend that's a bitch, or like she's standoffish, or thinks that you want to fuck her boyfriend.
Yeah, so, we saw that lots over the years too, where like bandmates' girlfriends would hang out because they were all together a lot, but then they like didn't always get along. Like,
we're really friends.
Yeah.
Or people are jealous of like the connection you have in your creative passion, but it's like different. And yeah, there's just an abundant mindset with all of the people in our lives. Yeah. Everyone
I
gets
have partners
it.
That used to get threatened by the boys in the band, and I'm like, especially Nathan. I'm like, yes, Nathan's beautiful, but he's like my fucking little brother. Like, you just, it's hilarious. Like, that you'd be threatened by someone who's in my
Nathan Shelley of Saanich.
Sexual entity. He also invited us all to go to his like bocce tournament thing. He does, you know him, he does the whole like Pearl Street Country Club opened, what, like he's doing a whole thing. It sounds like he makes it sound like a country club event, and there's a cup and there's a prize and
oh my
it's
god
adorable, but he's like a whole
he's so precious.
I'm calling you to invite you to the annuals,
and he's like teaching like rad hip-hop classes at the conservatory.
He's
so cool.
I love him so much.
I feel basically my takeaways from this chat are, we have to get more creative with our event spaces because they fucking suck. And that's why we're going to start playing on mountaintops and in parking lots and stuff.
I'm so down with this. That is like really fun. So holler at your girl.
You guys should just play with us.
Yeah,
you guys
need more and more of that kind of stuff.
We want to, I feel like we got to be creative. We got to make connections with people that have properties that we can play music on.
I know a guy named Paul who did build and open up his own little place.
That would be incredible. Thank you.
For sure.
I have really good liability insurance. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, I take that shit seriously. But also, if it's not a fuck yeah, it's a fuck no. Mm-hmm. Because the bar in our lives is all pretty
it's
fuck
too
yeah.
Low. Yeah. I just wish that people would value themselves more. Mm-hmm. I am constantly like,
yeah, she's told
to
me
Katie
this many
girls
times
about this, where I'm just like, you have to choose yourself. Mm-hmm. And. Yeah. Like, you, like, as much as you might want something to work with someone, once the negativity is gone, you'll get over it.
You'll
might
feel
miss
lighter.
For a little bit, but it always gets better.
Yeah. And that applies to, like, working projects, too, because there's been plenty of times where, you know, Danny's like, you got to value yourself better, like, with what you accept in the working world, too.
But people don't really have that modeled for them sometimes. That's why I'm like, people need
and especially
to people like you guys
and
that
especially
are
in an industry where
you're
taking what you
it.
Get a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think we all have that scarcity mindset. If it's not this person, I'm never going to have anyone. And I'm like, look around at all of the friends sitting next to you holding your hand.
Yeah.
They are going to stay as long as you don't drain yourself into this thing.
My mom always says it's better to be miserable by yourself than miserable with somebody. What if I'm going to be sad? Let me just be sad by myself. I don't need you to be here with me making me sad so that we're both just... And that's something that I think about. If you make me feel bad, then you can't be around me.
Yeah, and if you're the only thing in my life that is bringing out a certain side or the worst things in me, then that's not a good thing, and that's not a good match.
Also, just, like, knowing how to say no to things is really hard. Mm-hmm. I had this concept of an activity called speed dumping. So instead of speed dating, it's, like, you're given a situation that you need to leave. You need to, like, end the relationship, whether it's, like, a professional, like, you're quitting your job, whether it's, like, a shitty first date where it's, like, your six-year boyfriend, and you just need to, like, practice that leaving a situation without tearing anyone down. Okay. It's like you're elevating yourself up and out.
Yeah.
It's like, I am worthy of more. I think I can do better elsewhere. It's like, I'm gonna get the fuck out. And then hopefully you can learn your lesson by losing this instead of fuck you. You fucked me over. You fucked this. You fucked that. You fucked this. Because people don't listen to that. They don't retain it. It doesn't really teach them anything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes
it just makes you look like you're the best. Which is so like with that. Sorry, interrupted.
I was okay. But sometimes like people do deserve a good fuck you.
Yeah.
But then also, I deserve better.
So like with this shit with he who I will not name, at your birthday party, it really hurt my feelings and was like very weirdly disrespectful and childish.
Yeah,
and
it was
like
gross.
Brought you here as my date and you're just gonna sit there with this. Anyway, that night when I got home, he texted me some bullshit and I was just like, you've got to be kidding.
Too late.
And I just didn't.
Yeah.
6 days later, he hit me up and I said I might, he was like, I'd really like to meet up with you to talk. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And we were supposed to meet up on Sunday. And I was like, I can't do it today. Sorry. And he was like, okay, let me know another time. And I didn't get back to him. And I never will. It's one of those things where at first I was going to cuss his ass out. I was like, I wrote in my phone still. I was like, putting down points. Like,
she
I was
says like, she's not a writer.
Takes the right kind of inspiration.
When it comes to cussing a motherfucker, I'm going to make notes.
Skill set acquired.
But I wrote all this shit down and was going to. And then as time went by, I was like, but what is the point? And I think in not reacting that way,
you get to respond.
And I think that guys really get a kick out of feeling like we care so much when we flip out like that.
And
like,
watching women be crazy.
That makes me a bitch. That makes me crazy. Mm. That lets him know how much it bothers me. If I'm just like, that was shitty and I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm out. I'm not even going to talk to you about it. I'm just going to go. Because
they want to feel like the good guy. They're like, I did everything.
He wanted to absolve himself of guilt.
I wanted to do the apologize thing. I'm like, I don't need
And I don't need to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Say it to yourself in a mirror, bitch. I'm done. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
And you don't get to try to paint a picture of yourself in my eyes, and certainly not on my goddamn time, mm-mm, bitch. Mm-mm. And you don't get the pleasure of my presence.
Meltdown.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just gonna go.
Yeah.
Quietly. And you get to continue to be a fucking thought.
And you can teach yourself what you learn from this.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even gonna try and help you out through it.
You are in your mid-40s, okay? You can't learn.
Late.
I don't care. Again, it's not my problem.
But you still...
Yeah, too old to be playing these games.
I'm out.
It's cool that you still let yourself... like write it all out because those feelings have to move.
Yeah.
You only get to that second spot.
Not do anything about it.
Yeah, and that's why I do understand that if you are in the situation presently, you cannot always respond as this like perfectly responsible, ethical person. But like those feelings do have to move, and then you can get to the like the juicy, grown up shit. And it's not always about taking the high road and being like perfect. It's just about not making anyone else's life worse, including your own.
Exactly. No, I'm petty as fuck. I love to read. I love to flay the skin off of a motherfucker if they deserve it. I love it.
But sometimes we just do that to each other in our voice notes. So we just like to flay them to each other.
That's
like,
so much healthier.
I'm gonna rip him this new asshole.
There was one time this guy broke up with me by ghosting me for our camping trip, and I wrote him this like long letter that I was going to give to him, and then when I read the letter over, I was like, okay, everything that I wrote is true. So why do I care?
Mm.
And reading it over, I was like, I'm right.
You wrote it for you.
And I'm like, I don't need to give him this letter.
Yeah.
I'm rereading this to myself.
Yeah.
I'm on the better end of this. It's okay.
Totally.
And so
you like validated yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so writing things down like that can like really.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I had that with some friends recently too. And I was like, wait, why am I still trying?
Like, wait a minute.
It's one of those things for sure.
What a gift to yourself.
You get to clarity.
Yeah. Yeah, because all we want...
Away from the feeling of the moment.
Yeah, and all we would love in a situation where someone's hurt you is to say those words back to you. You want to feel heard. You want, like, them to be like, you're right, I did fuck this up, and I see your pain. Mm. See your shitty situation.
The thing is, if I was in a position... if I was considering still trying to work things out with him, like, giving him another chance, then, yeah, we could... I'll bitch you out or whatever. We can have the arguments. We can talk about it.
No, but he fumbled that ball too hard.
I'm not, since it's a no, like, full stop for me, yeah. Why am I going to waste my time and let you steal my fucking energy and air? Yeah. Just say it to yourself.
Yeah. If it's not a fuck yeah, it's a fuck no.
Yeah.
And sometimes those lines are not always clear, but the more you practice setting these boundaries and shit, the easier it gets.
Yeah.
It Hi, does. Sweetie. Hello. Do you want to take the mic for a second?
I don't have anything to say. I have
We're just talking about setting boundaries, and also, if you have any good Danny stories before we wrap up, I'm going to just restart this one more time. So it doesn't
Well, I just wanted to cuddle my girlfriend.
Oh.
Coming to cuddle his fiance.
Did you know that's what I said when he proposed?
Yes, I saw the video.
So gay.
Yeah, that made me laugh. Yay. That was so funny.
I know, because there's a fucking keyboard right between us. Danny gave you lots of love today. She said that you guys are wonderful.
Yeah, we talk about you. How lovely you are.
Help her feel safe and seen as an artist. I'm putting words in her mouth.
No, that's accurate.
That is what I say. And that you see a lot. You are very observant and supportive. And
I see a lot and it makes me mad.
Yeah. I love that about you. I love that about you.
You support me. Like, you have my back so hard. I adore you.
She was also trying to say that she's not a creative person, and I said, fuck that, because her art is the energy that she channels on stage.
It's just the way, I feel like some people are really good at putting it out there and coming up with things.
Free flow state, yeah.
Whereas for me, I truly, if you ask me to come up with a name for that guitar, I'd be like, give me a couple weeks.
I'm exactly the same way.
Like, I cannot. So it makes me feel like I'm not creative.
But you do get into your flow state when you're playing with an audience's energy.
Yes.
That is an art in itself.
That's what they were saying, actually. Wow.
Yeah,
it's almost like we were right.
Almost like it's true.
It's so true.
But the thing is that once you recognize what parts of your life you just naturally get into that flow state with, then you can start to coax yourself into the flow state in other areas because you know what it feels like. Mm. Recognize, like, the things that make you feel safe and okay to get there.
Bars.
Yeah, you're definitely creative when it comes to planning and planning a vibe and an energy, like...
Holding space.
Yeah.
You should do an event together.
Like, get dinners or trips or whatever. Those are all ways in which you flex your creativity that might not seem super creative, but they definitely are.
Yeah, I guess. I'm like, I want to go to Mexico. I'm going back to Mexico.
Yeah, but you'll also be like, you'll
once
be
again,
like,
I'm in Mexico.
But there'll also be a time when you'll be like, I have half of, I bought a big rack of ribs and I'm not going to eat it by myself. I'm just going to invite two people over to eat. And then next thing, there's like a whole fucking 12 course meal spread out across the table because you've just got that, you're like, now that I'm doing it, I might as well. Throw my whole ass in it.
It doesn't need to be tied to a medium. It's all just about having an idea and following through with it. I feel like that's literally all creativity is. Yeah, and when you are
in action,
being a person that like prioritizes like your desire to thrive and remain like fully alive in your life, then you have access to those good ideas and like the people who feed those ideas and grow them and make them bigger. And I definitely see that in you, and I'm like stoked to hear you still choosing to be that person, because it's so hard when we have these like beautiful flowers of humans who do get lost in like these societal expectations of you have to be with a man, so they find a shitty man that like drags them down,
ruins them,
or a shitty band or environment that drags them down. And it happens to all of us. That's how we learn to not do it. But
we're socialized to accept shitty things as men. We're just like socialized to fix things for everybody else and accept whatever it is around you. Like, we just have to take it. I'm too bitchy for that. So I refuse to let my life be made more difficult than it naturally will be because I'm alive. If I can control any parts of my own joy, then I will and I do. And that's just it. And while I'm doing that, I'm trying to puke joy on everybody else around me.
So piss it.
Bum pee butt. Butt. What did you say? Mud butt?
Mud butt. Mud butt. Mud butt my joy all over you.
I'm piss spraying joy on all of your faces.
Oh, and I consent.
That should be a merch sticker. Just for future merch ideas. Just me blase, and it's Dani just pissing a rainbow of love like a Care Bear out of her vagina onto a crowd of people.
It's gotta be really graphic.
Do you? Yeah. Can you think of any really good Dani like green room stories?
Green room stories?
Or any Dani story.
The one that I always go back to is the repeated episodes of you threatening to eat people's children from the stage.
I did do that, yeah.
Threatening to what?
I like
people's kids.
Oh, yeah, I love when you do that.
I like the cannibal Danibal.
Cannibal Danibal.
That bit, I
the
like.
See, another merch idea. Dani eating a child on stage.
Violence and depravity.
Your kid's so cute, I'm gonna eat it. And just like
they're like chunky and they look soft. And I'm like,
go be a chunky baby.
Chew on them.
Cuteness aggression defined by Dani Jackson.
The earnest sincerity in that statement.
Yeah, it's so earnest.
You're saying it hard. Like it's such okay, understandable.
I realized that I was like, whole, I'm like, were, like, I'm like a rib, like yeah. A little like baby arm.
She has the same reaction to puppies like, too.
It's true. They're so cute. I
understand.
I love that.
I frequently have kids' body parts in my mouth because I'm a nanny. That sounds
awesome. That sounds so
really
weird.
It really
yeah.
Didn't sound good.
So weird.
Non-consensually, they just like, and I'm like, oh God, there's hepatitis C. But they're freaking covered in germs. It's awful.
Fucking cooties, man. Kid cooties are aggressive.
Yeah, I remember there was one time when that kid, that I think it was 39 Days of July, when that kid came up and danced on the stage with us and Scram, and he was like, he got a leg up hat, and he was like wearing it and dancing with us, and you were like, can we keep him? And I'm like, I think that's kidnapping Dani. Oh, yeah, no, but can we keep him? Keep our little dancer. Like, he was just into it. He was having a time.
I have a behind-the-scenes Dani story. I remember at the end of Pacina Bay, you and I we both had to pee, and then we, like, snuck off into the grass, and I was wearing a onesie, and I was like, where do I put all of this cow material? And then you just grabbed my, like, entire outfit that was by my ankles, by the crotch, and I must have grabbed yours or somehow, but you were, like, balancing each other by, like, the crotch of our undies.
That's practical.
Still
right there. It was that's a practical.
And it worked. Totally. Otherwise, worked. There would have been, like, drippage into the fabric.
Dude, hell no.
At Base Coast, actually, was it last year?
So nice.
I was running off into the woods to piss somewhere, and I was, like, down by the river in this, like, kind of dark area, and I go down there and there's a girl there who's like squatting, and then as I got there she like got up and I was like, sorry. I was like, for what? She's like, oh, I was gonna pee and then I got scared, and I was like, girl, what? Come back. And brought her. I was like, no, bitch, I'm gonna piss too. So we're gonna piss together, okay? And she's like,
whether we're in a club or in the bushes, we're all girls in the bathroom.
So we like squatted facing each other, held hands and pissed together, and I was like,
go piss,
girl. This actually reminds me of another
girl.
And then we got up and walked out, and she was like, their friends were like, you okay? She's like, yeah, we peed together. I was like, I'm here for you, babe.
Dani, do you remember the tall tree eye contact story?
Yeah. Don't you realize pissing is my way?
Every time our buddy Jay would go pee,
you would go pee.
But we'd hear someone would yell from the tent. It became a thing where it was like back. It was both. I would just hear Dani being yelled, eye contact,
Jay,
make eye contact.
Because I pee behind God. There was like this big rock that I would like pee behind. And like the first time it happened by accident, I was just like squatting, but like I just happened to be like eye level and could see. And I was like, Jay, I'm pissing. And then, so every time I went to pee from then on, I was like, Jay, where are you? Jay! And so one time that he didn't look me in the eyes, I tripped and, like, I fell and, like, some backward somersault into a rose bush.
You had to look me in the eyes.
Truly, it was like a balance thing in the end. So,
that's so funny.
I'm having a realization. You know how people's love languages are like acts of kindness, words of affirmation? I think yours is just pissing.
I just want to share it. I
just want to involve you in my bathroom.
What's your love language?
Pee-pee. Pee-pee. Kissing, honey.
I do it for you and me. Yeah. I take care of
you. Can you say Freudian regression?
No. I feed you and I...
No, thank you.
Can you say it backwards?
I'm like trying to think.
I literally just like also tried to visualize. It got really quiet because both of us tried to picture that backwards.
Nashigra. Nashigra Niedrauf.
Sounds like German, Austria, or something. You're Drauf.
Okay.
Drauf.
This feels like a very good place to take these microphones away from us.
We could talk for hours.
I could talk for hours, but
this is an hour and 48 already. But I did start it early because I was messing around.
It's okay. I want a big hefty chunk of Danny time. And I'm glad that you've shared so many different parts of your life that I didn't actually know about. It's been really juicy, and I feel very lucky to get your time.
And there's so much more. We'll have to have Danny on again, too, because there's so many things.
There's lots of stuff. There's my daddy issues.
Oh.
And also just like...
On the next episode of Squish.
Danny also has whole podcast episodes of her own that would be cool to collaborate on or something.
I was like, if you ever just want to come be the other third Squisher, you are more than welcome to.
We were talking about it already.
I would love to. I have literally like 48 episode ideas written out. But in the meantime...
And she's not a writer!
Well, I have,
you're a talker. Yes.
I just want to say thank you for having me.
Thank you again.
Where can people find you on the internet? What's something you're proud of sharing and want people to find?
Our band's on Instagram at Blase Music. I don't use Facebook very much, so don't look for me there. I'm on Instagram at DJax132. When you try to add me to Instagram, because I've been shadow banned for posting pro-Israel shit.
Pro-Palestinian.
Because I'm like, stop killing people in Gaza, please.
Yeah.
They have, when you add me, there's a fucking warning that comes up. That's like, are you sure you want to add this person? Warning, yeah. They have posted blah,
adding her
blah,
for the content warning. And I'm
like, it's like, this person stands up for human rights. Are you sure?
Exactly. And the thing is, it's
Danny's
funny.
Stories are top notch, like, too. Like, it takes you on a journey. It's not just that. You
I go,
all sorts of good
I,
stuff
yeah.
on Danny's Insta stories.
It's like a full afternoon sometimes.
You'd think I'd get some sort of warning where if I flagged this post, that this is verified to be untrue. That has not ever happened. And so for them to, like, just be like, okay, warning people not to add me because of the fraudulent shit that I'm posting, they have no point have they actually been able to flag any of it because it's literally videos from, Gaza.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can add me. There's going to be a warning that I'm cool, and I also post funny shit, too.
I want friends with warnings. That means they're hardcore and they give a shit.
It's fun. If you, like, remove me as a friend and add me again, you'll see it. It's
just for
wild.
Fun.
It's wild. Just to give you a warning. I got my friend empty. She was like, really? And I was like, yeah, unfollow me and pre-follow me.
That's just so crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. So.
It's the world we live in.
It's a shit show.
Yeah.
That's why I'm, like, really adamant about only positivity.
Joy,
putting
babe.
Out joy, taking
you gotta
joy,
balance it.
Kicking the shit out of anything else that is not good. The
yeah.
rest of it can go.
Hell no!
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. We love you. Thank
you
for listening to Squish.
I also just wanted to, I looked up that quote because I was curious, so I'm just going to recap that quote you said
Steinbeck.
Earlier. Yeah, so from, what would
I
you say it was
book.
From?
East of Eden.
Yeah, so from East of Eden, the quote that Danny was referencing earlier is, it seems to me that if you or I must choose between two courses of thought or action, we should remember our dying and try so to live that our death brings no pleasure to the world. And that is very good advice.
What a nice note to end it on.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up.
All right.
Hooray!
Cool.
Hooray.
We want to thank everyone who made Squish happen. Specifically, we would love to thank Elena Ahlstrom and Renata Baldwin for the wonderful background music for our intro and outro, as well as all of our vocal squishers who offered your cute little voices.
So adorable. We love you so much.
I want to thank Katie for editing together our intro and outro soundtrack.
And Tash for doing the video editing and a bunch of great graphic design work.
That's right. We're thanking ourselves because we fucking did this, bitch. Yeah, if you've made it this far, thank you so much for sticking around, and we hope to catch you on the next episode.
Heck yeah, thanks to everyone for being part of it.
Love you.
Love you.